Amen. Amen. Songwriter said he gave me my health and strength, and I'm glad about it. Amen. Amen. One songwriter said, I started to complain that I didn't have no shoes. Then I saw a man who didn't even have no feet to use. Amen. Because sometimes we just don't realize just how blessed we are. Hallelujah. It's blessed just to live in a nation where you can call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. And not worried about having to go to jail over it. Amen. 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 A nation where you could live out your spiritual, your religious beliefs. Amen. And not be condemned about it. Amen. Come on, give our choir a big hand clap. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give our minister of music a big hand clap. I tell you. Amen. He's doing a wonderful job. Amen. With our voices. Amen. Amen. So I thank God for him. Amen. Amen. Not going to hold you long today. We've got another program this evening at 3 o'clock. And pray that each one of you will come back to that and let us enjoy the Lord by the way of song service. Amen. Singing is all right. Ain't that right? Amen. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us today to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis 3 and amen. And verse number 1. Genesis 3 and verse number 1. There you'll find my assignment for today. Genesis 3. Verse number 1, when you got it, say amen. 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 If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the little cubby holes in front of your pew or behind your pew. Or maybe you can just walk over and share the word with somebody. Amen. Everybody here should be Christians by now. Amen. And shouldn't mind you looking at their word. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for all you precious people. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 1, it reads, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the tree, therefore, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the seventh verse is what I'm trying to get to, 7 and 8. And it said, And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and that ate, and I ate. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And call your attention back to the 7 and 8 verse. And the eyes of them both were open, and they were, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Let us bow our heads. Father, we appreciate you now. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice, and we are glad in it. God, I thank you for your people who have gathered themselves together today to hear a word from you. Bread of heaven, O bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. Father, I pray today that thou would allow the word to be preached in this place, that some lost and disenfranchised soul may find a glimmer of hope that only comes through your word. God, I pray that you will allow the word to fall upon good ground, that the ears of your people will be attentive to your word, and that they would examine themselves, God, that they would find out where they are and understand that you have desire for them to be in a better place. That, God, that they would be honest with themselves today, not covering up anything, but they would expose themselves naked to you, that you may carry them to the next level. We appreciate you for it right now. And we praise you in advance. We praise you in advance for those who are going to come to the altar and give themselves to you. We thank you right now. We bless your name. In the magnificent, marvelous, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can take your seat right there in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 For a few Sundays now, we have been talking about Adam, and we've been in Genesis 1, 2, 3, amen, trying our best to unfold what God is actually saying to us and ministering to us in such a time like this, amen. I'm a firm believer that if a person is going to be right or going to be better, there is some decisions that person has to make, amen. Decisions don't always feel good. Not when there are true decisions, amen. Sometimes decisions will cause you to leave something that you thought you couldn't get away from. Sometimes decisions will cause you to walk away from something with tears in your eyes. Sometimes decisions will cause you, amen, to somehow just go somewhere and just tie yourself down until you get completely delivered, amen. Decisions won't always feel good. Reach over and nudge somebody and tell them decisions won't always feel good. But decisions have to be made, amen. They have to be made, and in making decisions, one of the processes that must be adhered to in making decisions that you first must be honest with yourself. Sometimes we lie to others, but you bad when you lie to yourself. Amen, 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 amen. So decisions have to be made, amen, and you have to be honest with yourself in order to make a right decision. Amen. In order to make a right decision. Often, I told y'all some time ago, and I'll share with you again, that my daddy, when he was coming up, he used to be a drunk. And amen. And I was preaching. I was a 12-year-old boy preaching the gospel. And I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, come hear me preach. And my daddy said, he in so many words that he wasn't going. And I said, Daddy, why you walk around here all the time drunk? And my daddy stood up and he staggered. And he said, boy, I ain't drunk. I said that to say this, is that there come a time when you must understand, first of all, that in order to change, you got to first be honest with yourself. yourself. And we're going to learn this today in the lesson, because I want to use for a topic today in the next 30 minutes, you know, 35, 40, whichever way God lead me. Look over at your neighbor and say, neighbor, where are you? Now, see, what you just asked them was a deep question. Now, we're not talking about in the place that you are, because most of you, you know that you're sitting in church beside someone. But that's not the question. The question is, where are you really? Where are you? And that's a question that requires you to be honest with yourself. Reach over and touch somebody and tell them you got to be honest with yourself. Now, I'm going to get deep today, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers. Amen. But the sole purpose of this message is for you to finally realize where you are. Oftentimes people will do better when they realize where they are. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever smelt so bad until you smelt yourself? Oh, y'all, you might well go with me there. Now, have you ever worked so hard until you sweated, until you smelt yourself? Now, let me share something with you. Now, if you smell you, can't you just imagine what other folks smell? Okay. Now, the whole purpose of the gospel is to get you to see yourself. And we're going to learn that. We're going to see this today in this message, because at some point in your life, and some point in your Christian walk, you have got to see yourself. I'm not talking about seeing everybody else. I'm talking about seeing you. Because sometimes God will place you in a place all by yourself till you can't see nobody but you. So in the previous message we've been talking about in Genesis, we've studied the fall of man. We looked at the cause of the fall, because there was a cause to every fall. Let me say that one more time. There is a cause to every fall. If you look back over your life at all the mistakes that you made, go back and look at the steps that took you to get to where you were. There were steps. There were steps. There were steps. And sometimes these steps can be overlooked. And sometimes folks can sometimes think that they're stronger than what they really are. Amen. Sometimes there are some things and some places that we don't need to go, because we're not strong enough to come out of them untarnished. Are you with me in here? Yeah. Now, you know, God made man for woman and woman for man. Now, you know, I'm gonna say it like that. Amen. Now, if you know you ain't strong enough, then there's some stuff you just need to stay away from. Are y'all with me in here? Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Amen. And we looked at the process, and we realized the results. The results of the fall. Amen. You got the cause, you got the process, and then you have the results of the fall. Okay. We talked about how disheartened the whole cause was. We saw how awful the process was. Look at Adam. Adam and Eve had it made. We saw how the result was. Sometimes we can create something in one moment that will somehow cause us a whole lifetime to get over. Can I just preach this thing like I feel it? Sometimes we can say something in a moment of frustration. that can cause us a lifetime to get past. But the good news about Genesis 3 is that it doesn't stop here. God is doing something that I need each of you to realize and recognize today. He has a plan in the midst of a mess. God has a plan. I know some of y'all, you know, you might be looking at your life right now and you might be saying, Lord, my life is in a mess. Good news, because in the middle of your mess, God has a plan. Sometimes you have to look past the mess to see it, but God has a plan. Reach over and nudge somebody and tell them, it ain't over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ain't over. Yeah. When the devil start allowing you to focus on the mess, amen, a message always comes out of the mess. Amen. God has a way of turning things around. Are you with me in here? Every good book has another chapter. Come on in here. Yeah. You might have failed in that chapter, and the devil might have said it was over in that chapter, but blessed be God, God will always start a new chapter in your life and turn things around. Have I asked you to nudge your neighbor yet? Nudge your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, tell him you ain't saw the last of me. Yeah, you ain't saw. No, this ain't the last of me, amen. No. As long as I still got my mind, I can come out of this. As long as I still got some words, I can come out of this. It ain't over with until it's over with, and it ain't over with yet. How many believe it in this place? Oh, glory. So, in Genesis, we see how God allowed us to see the cause, the process, and yes, the results of man's fall. But it also reveals to us the way that God chose to deal with the fall. We look at the fall, but we don't realize that God has always purposed a plan for the fall. And God is unveiling that to us in Genesis 3. Most of us who are Bible readers, when we read Genesis, our heart is torn. And we look at Genesis 3 as being a negative book. We look at Genesis 3 as being a book that has a terrible conclusion. But one thing we fail to realize, that although the devil showed his face, although the devil tempted Adam and Eve and caused them to fail, it also shows God's way of dealing with man. And God began to minister to me, and he said, my way of dealing with man in the book of Genesis chapter 3 was not to judge him. I said, Lord. He said, when I came to Adam in the garden, my whole purpose of showing up was not to judge him. And you're going to learn in just a few minutes that the way God approaches a person is not always to judge him, but God has another particular plan in mind. Whew. Oh, I feel like preaching just a minute. But the Bible declares that after the fall of Adam and Eve, they both realized something. They realized that all of a sudden they were not as good as they thought they were. Just like when we mess up, when we stay too long, longer than we planned. When we got too close to the edge, when we did what we wasn't supposed to do, all of a sudden we realized something, that we're not as good as we thought we were. And the Bible goes on to say, now watch this, that Adam and Eve condemned themselves. How did they condemn themselves? I'm glad you asked. They condemned themselves by hiding themselves. Whoo, glory. They hid themselves. And not only did they hide themselves, but they took on a form of religious covering. For the Bible said that they went out and they used fig leaves in Genesis 3 and 7 and 8 to cover themselves. Man made religion to cover themselves. Now watch this now. God didn't condemn them, but they condemned themselves. Are you with me in here? You ever walked in a crowd of folk and folks is talking and you know, you was afraid to leave because you didn't want them to talk about you because they was talking about everybody else. You know, and why do folks feel like that? Have you ever said, you know, everybody is talking about me all because of what I said or what I done? See, now watch this. What you have done unknowingly is that you have condemned yourself. God didn't condemn you. You condemned yourself. Reach over and touch somebody and tell them, don't condemn yourself. Yeah. Don't consider. So Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from God. They knew they had violated God's law, so they attempted to hide themselves from the presence of God. Let me ask you a question. Some of y'all might be smarter than me. How can you hide from God? I might can hide from James. I might can hide from Brad. But it's impossible for me to hide from God. He's too wide for me to reach around. He's too low for me to go under. He's too high for me to go over. How can you hide from God? So here they are, they're trying to hide from God because they ate of the tree that God told them not to eat. Now watch this. And the reason why they were hiding from God is that God told them that in the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. So here they are, they were afraid and they were hiding from God because they knew that the result of their transgression was going to produce death. They were afraid of dying. Oh, I'm trying to take you someplace. I'm trying to take you. So therefore, they hid themselves from the Lord's presence. They hid themselves from the Lord's presence, awaiting the Oh, God, am I awaiting death, waiting to die. The sentence of death, once you eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. So there they was, trying to hide themselves from God. How often do we do wrong and we try to hide ourselves from God? How often do we violate his covenant and violate his word and we hide ourselves from God? I wanna let you know, you can't hide from God. One writer said, he is from everlasting to. Everlasting. You can't hide from somebody when you drive in your car and you drive 500 miles and you get to your motel room and you go inside and lock the door and say, shh, and he's sitting right beside you. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me in here. You can't hide from somebody when you can lock five doors and you get on the inside of the fifth door and you sat down and said, shoot, and he said, shoot to you too. You can't hide from God. So here we have Adam and Eve, and they're trying to hide from God. But the Bible said that, however, that God came in not to deliver a sentence. That's what they thought. But when God showed up, I'm going to show you in just a few minutes, he showed up for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Oh, it's going to get deep in here today. It's going to get deep in here. I promise you. It's going to get deep in here today. He showed up for the purpose of preaching the gospel because God did not pronounce the death sentence, but rather he sounded the voice of the gospel. Let's look at this. Bishop, how so? Because the gospel didn't come to the New Testament. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Oh, glory. I like it when I make your head sweat. Come on in here. The first word of the gospel preaching was a question found in Genesis 3 and 9. And that question was, where art thou? Look at somebody that asked him, where art thou? The first order of salvation is figuring out where you are. Let me say it on this side because I didn't get too many amens. The first order of salvation is figuring out where you are. Because, let the record show that the gospel works best when it works where you are. Let me take something natural. When a man is dating a woman, you know, and they meet and she never wants him to know and he never wants her to know how broke he is. I'm gonna preach. So what he does, he put his pants in the cleaners and get everything starched and go get a haircut. He go out there and he wash his car and he looks like he's you know, all the way there. And the same with her, you know, she fix up and she tie up. Y'all ain't talking to me. And because she don't want him to know that she ain't got everything all together. So sitting across, eat from each other at the dinner table. You know, they there's not a whole lot of talking because, you know, sometimes when you open your mouth, people find out just how intelligent you are. So what they do is that they don't talk much. You know, they look in each other's eyes and they don't talk much and they don't say too much at all. What are you trying to say, Bishop? Is that, you know, you must understand is that sometimes if you're going to be honest with somebody, you need to first learn how to be honest with yourself. Because sometimes people don't like surprises. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you tell me from the start, I can learn how to deal with it. If you tell me from the start, there won't be no surprises. Don't let me figure out 5 months down the road that you crazy. Come on and hear somebody. Woo! Reach up and high five somebody and tell them, where are you? So the gospel works best when it works where you are. You got to learn how to be honest with yourself and be honest with people around you. Where art thou? So after the fall, when God came to Adam and Eve, his voice was walking in the garden. His voice was walking in the garden. His voice was walking in the garden. The word that came out of his mouth was his voice. You understand what I'm saying because of the words that's coming out of my mouth. And the word was made flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus was the New Testament. Jesus was the gospel. Jesus was the good news. So here we have the voice of God, Jesus, walking in the garden. And Adam heard it. He heard the gospel. He heard the voice of God walking in the garden. And the voice, just like the gospel does today, came with a question. Because when God get ready to save you, he doesn't come to condemn you. The woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, they were getting ready to stone her, and Jesus stooped down on the ground and he wrote on the ground. I believe that that was the first iPad that was ever, oh, y'all ain't talking to me. He wrote on the ground, looking at everybody's life. That was you right there. That was you. You did that. You did that. And then he got up and said, he that was out sin, let him cast the first stone. Watch this. I'm almost there. Watch this. And slowly they begin to drop their rocks. I believe I'll preach that someday. Drop your rocks. They begin to drop their rocks and they walked away. And Jesus looked at the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? She lifted up her head and said, Jesus, I don't see no one. And Jesus said, and not only, he said, but I don't accuse you either. So he doesn't come to condemn you, but he comes to preach to you the gospel. And the gospel always comes with a question, where art thou? Where art thou? And after Adam and Eve fell, if Adam had been honest with himself, he would have said to the voice that was walking in the garden, you know what? I messed up. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. If he was just going to be honest with himself, he would have said, you know what? I ain't blaming nobody else. I messed up. When God get ready to deliver you, when God get ready to set you free, when the gospel comes to ask you a question, where art thou? If you're in a mess, you need to learn how to say, I'm in a mess. Oh, come on in here, somebody. Yeah. If you played too long, laid too long, y'all ain't talking to me, then you need to learn how to be honest with God, because you're talking to the person who has the ability to turn things around. Do I have a witness to this? I asked a question the other day. Y'all sit down. Y'all pushing me. I don't want to be pushed. I asked a question the other day, and I asked some folks in the church. I said, how many of y'all in here broke? You should have seen broke folks wouldn't even raise their hand. Are you with me in here? I said we had broke folk in the church who wouldn't raise their hand. And there was a little baby back at the back door. The baby raised his hand. I said, come up here, baby. And when the baby came up, I reached in my purse. Y'all, my pocketbook. I ain't got no purse. My pocketbook. And I gave that baby some money. And when I gave that baby some money, everybody's hand went up. When God asks a question, God is getting ready to deliver you. Whew. I'm almost there. Can I have about 5 more minutes? I'm almost there. So Adam, he could have been honest with God. When God asked him where he was, he should have confessed his sins. But he didn't do this. However, in his answer, he acknowledged that he was naked. He acknowledged that he was missing something. He said, I heard your voice. I heard the gospel as it walked through the garden. But it showed me myself. And when God shows up, ain't it amazing how he shows you yourself? You can't fool God. When God show up, he'll show you just how miserable you are. That's why I tell folk all the time, don't get mad at me when I'm preaching the gospel. Don't think I know your business when I'm preaching the gospel. If you just sat there and act right, won't nobody know that I'm... Because when the gospel shows up, God will show you you. So Adam said, I was naked. And I was afraid. And I went and hid myself. Question number two. Who told you you was naked? Look at the question God asked him. Who told you you were naked? God said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat? You need to know that the window of opportunity was open. When God asks you a question, the window of opportunity opens. When God asks a question, can these bones live? The windows of opportunity is open. Is there anything too hard from God? The window of opportunity opens. But you must understand that the window of opportunity won't stay open. For he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Adam should have made an honest confession. He should have said, yes, God, I ate of that tree. I know you told me not to. My hand was caught in the cookie jar. He should have said, Lord, please forgive me. Wash me over again. Create in me a new heart. Fix me, Jesus. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me in there. Woo! But instead, Adam, like most of us, he tried to clear himself of the responsibility. How often do we try to clear ourselves of the responsibility? How often do we try to shift the guilt? How often do we try to put it over on somebody else? If I wasn't married to her, God, I'd have been all right. If Bishop hadn't married us, God, I'd have been, oh, y'all ain't talking to me. I was good the way I was. Then they told me that this man was single. Y'all come on and hear somebody. Woo, Jesus. Look at him here. Adam said, the woman that you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the fruit of the tree. And I did eat. Look how deep he goes. He goes deep enough to blame God for his failures. See what sin will do to you? Sin will cause you to look at everybody else but yourself. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. Adam was saying to God, God, it's not my fault. I was doing good in this garden by myself. I was fine like I was, God. You the one put me to sleep. Y'all ain't talking to me. You the one took a rib out of me, God. When I woke up, there she was. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, when I woke up, God, there she was. I never would have eaten of that tree if you hadn't have gave her to me. See how we do it? See how we do it? When he could have apologized and got back in right fellowship with God. But he shifts the blame. Notice, if you will, that God did not rebuke Adam. Because God did not come to judge him. He knew where he was. He was coming to save him. Did you get that? Now let me get a little bit more deeper. When God messes up a whole sermon to preach to you, he already knows where you are. Watch this. He knows the mess that you're in. What God is trying to do is to get you to realize where you are. Because the first steps of getting out of where you are is realizing that you're there. Because if you don't realize that you're there, you won't strive to get away from there. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. If you don't see no problem with where you are, then you won't make your life better. I was sharing with somebody at work the other day. They said, Darren, you sure are sharp today. I said, how was I looking yesterday? So when people tell you that you look good today, don't it make you wonder how you was looking the day before? So when the gospel comes to you, the whole purpose of the gospel is for you to see exactly where you are. I asked somebody the other day. I asked him, I said, now, do you understand why you're in the situation that you're in now? And they said, I don't know. And I said to them, if you don't know, then you're not ready to come out. Ooh. Because the moment you realize and you recognize how you got where you are and the situation and the circumstance that you're in, then you'll never ever be willing and able to come out. Because when God shows up, he doesn't bless you until you realize where you are. And when you realize where you are, it's then that your heart can be apologetic toward God. When your heart becomes apologetic toward God, that's when he reaches. Let me watch this. And in case you didn't get that point, let me take you to point number two. The prodigal son would have never made it back home until he realized that he was in the hog's pen. Everybody else around him recognized that he had failed from grace except him. Everybody else smelled him except him. When a person is messed up, it's amazing how everybody else know it except the person. And it never amazes me how sometimes people would know you by your issue and not even know your name. You know that old woman that keep walking the street all the time and she got having that same old dress on, you know, toting that big old orange purse, got that wig on. No. Oh, I know who you're talking about. No, you don't know who you're talking about. You don't even know her name. Who am I preaching to in here today? Phew, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. But you notice that God didn't, he didn't judge. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't just throw him away. Because God didn't come to judge, he came to save. Which is a foreshadow of what his son Jesus was coming to do. To save and not to judge. And then God turned to the woman. And he asks the woman in verses 13, what is this thou has done? He only wanted to know where she was. What is this that you have done? Her opportunity, her window of opportunity just opened up. When your one window of opportunity opens, it's your opportunity to get yourself right with God. Forget everybody else. If they could help you, they would have helped you by now. Forget everybody else. I promise you. You'd be surprised who's talking about you. You'd be surprised. There's some folks who eat your food and go out with a full stomach and talk about you all the way home. I don't know who he think he is, but you know, he think he better than anybody else. But his dressing sure is good. Wanted to know where they were, because the plan of salvation works best when it finds you in the place of where you are. God is one of the only beings that I know that like to deal with you where you are. When you come to God, you ain't got to fix yourself up. You ain't got to wash yourself. No. You come to God the way you are. He's one of the only beings that I know that would accept you just like you are. You ain't got to buy no new pants. You ain't got to get no suit clean. You ain't got to get no haircut. You ain't got to put no Maybelline on. Come on, somebody. You just got to come to him just like you are. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Look at somebody and tell them, only God can do that. Oh, God Almighty. I'm almost there. So the woman, just like Adam, Eve did not confess her fault. So she says, still shifting the blame, the serpent enticed me. And I did eat. And I need you to know that ever since the first fall of man, humans have always acted in this same fashion. Shifting the blame. Shifting the blame. Just like little children, when they get in trouble, they blame the other child. I didn't do it, he did it. I didn't do it, he did it. No, I didn't. I didn't do it. No. That's what Adam and Eve are doing. They are shifting the blame. But it is clear if you read Genesis 3, 16 and 17 and 18, that you see that God is only trying to seek out his man. The man who had lost his way. God was just trying to seek him out. Reach over and touch your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, where are thou? No. Look at it one more time and say, really, where are you? So Eve shifted it to the serpent. Then watch this now. I'm going to show you how the love of God is. God loved Adam. He loved Eve. He asked them questions. But when the shift of the blame went to the serpent, I want you to notice that God did not ask the serpent any questions. He didn't ask the serpent, what is this you done? Why did you do this? No. When he got to the serpent, he immediately condemns the serpent. God says to the serpent, because you have done this. Listen to me real good. Because you have done this. God knew that there was no confession for the serpent. Because the devil had already played his time out. His window of opportunity had already closed. But he was helping and leading questions to mankind, because the window of opportunity is there, because God did not come to judge them. He came to save them. And Adam and Eve was waiting for a death sentence. And God is saying to them, I didn't come to kill you. I didn't come walking in this garden to harm you. My sole purpose of coming in this garden was for you to figure out where you were and where you had fallen to, so that I can provide you a deliverance. Oh, I stopped by here today in my closing to ask you a question. Where art thou? My question to you is that, do you know where you are? I stopped by here to tell you that God is not in this building to condemn you. God is in this building to bring you from a mighty long way. He's saying to you right now, where art thou? I don't want you to go hide. I don't want you to go cover yourself. I don't want you to go and have some man-made religion. No. God said, I just want you to be honest with yourself. If you're there, say you're there. If you're lost, say you're lost. If you need help, say, Lord, here I am. If you need to repent, repent and get past it. And get back on the bus. Do I have a witness in here? If you fail, don't worry about it, because he's there to pick you back up. He just want to know where you are. I'm getting ready to pray. He is ministering to somebody. And you're in this place today. And he's saying to you, where are thou? And that's your window of opportunity to come get it right. To come and confess to God.